Greetings, brethren. Welcome to Sabbath services. Since there's a lot of trouble and difficulty going on in the world, we'll concentrate on the thing that is most important, our relationship with God and the faith that we need to have, because we are preparing for two things. Number one, eternal life. Number two, to rule the world under Christ. And of course, when you watch anything like the History Channel, we've been watching the History Channel lately. I don't know how many have been following along with the Vikings and the Columbus coming over to America and so forth. But what was really interesting was what happened with Genghis Khan and coming west. And then his successors, after they had conquered all of this land, then his successor took over. I think he killed his brother. And then what happened? The bubonic plague started with them. And before Europe had the, you know, devasier, I guess that's what they call it, where they can fling huge rocks and things like that against castle walls. Well, they had the devasier, the eastern version, where they could fling things into a village or into a walled city. So what they did, they actually had the very first biological warfare. They took the dead bodies of those who had the plague and hurled them into the cities, and it spread just, you know, you can't stop it. And that's what caused it to keep coming west and coming west and coming west. And then when it hit Europe, it killed a third of the population in Europe. And then I saw another special on it, and it said, well, after that, they had an economic boom because there was a lot of food to eat. So anyway, but what struck me is this. Every single civilization, country, empire, fiefdom, community, state, region, they all fight and they kill. And I know Dolores said, she said, well, you know, I'd rather be shot with a gun than bludgeoned in the head with some of those things, because the Vikings, their weapon of choice was the battle axe. And with that, one swing, they could decapitate someone. And I thought, you know, you look at the scripture which says, let's go back there to Micah, the fourth chapter. And this is what the world needs, the return of Christ. But they're not going to like the return of Christ, because man is going to develop in such an advanced way beyond what we even think of right now. And those things are already in the works, that they are going to want to fight Christ to keep from being invaded by the aliens from outer space and to save the world. But here is what we are looking to do. Here is what we are going to usher in after the resurrection. Verse 1, but it shall be in the last days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established, and the top of the mountains, it will be over every government. See, man is going to come up with his own world government. He hasn't had one yet. And everything is there. The groundwork is being laid. And it's going to end up being the greatest thing that has ever happened and the worst disaster that men have caused. Both. But concerning the Lord and his government, and it shall be above the hills, and people shall flow unto it, and many people shall come and say, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways. We need a massive educational program. Re-educate, okay? And we will walk in his paths. And the law shall go forth out of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge among many people and will rebuke strong nations afar off, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And the toy industry is going to be out of business, going to be replaced with real animals. Which would you rather have, Legos or a pet lion? Okay. So that is coming. Now, we have to prepare for it by understanding the evil of human nature, beginning with our own and beginning with what we need to do to be converted. So here it is, Romans 1 and verse 15. In the gospel, for therein, Romans 1 verse 17, for therein the righteousness of God is revealed. And we just saw a little video, some of the sayings of Ronald Reagan. And he said that the Bible, and I'm sure he believed it, but he didn't understand a lot of it, but he said the Bible contains all the answers to our questions as human beings, and we need to read it. Now, we haven't heard that since he has passed on, okay? But here, from the Bible, tells us how. It is revealed from faith unto faith, or faith into faith, your faith and belief in God, and God sending his Spirit and his faith back to you as one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Love, joy, faith, etc. According as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So let's continue on with faith unto faith. And let's finish off the section concerning hungering and thirsting after righteousness and the kind of righteousness that we need. See? Now, let's also understand this. I got a letter the other day from a woman. She said, I was listening to your sermon, and I was greatly offended when you said that all the saints will be born again at the resurrection. Well, she needs to learn a little more about the Bible, see, because Jesus was the firstborn of Mary in the flesh, and he was the firstborn from the dead. So therefore, being raised from the dead is being born again. In the meantime, what God does, he is developing the character in us. It is a process. When you receive the Holy Spirit, that is only the beginning. That is not an ending. Well, it is in a way. It's an ending of your old way of living and a beginning of a new way of living. So let's look at some things concerning the righteousness of God. All right. Let's come here to the book of Isaiah. Let's come to Isaiah 54. Now, it's amazing when you understand this. All of the apostles, when they first started, they taught Christ from the Old Testament. Now, you probably heard this many times where it is that the Bereans searched the scriptures whether these things were so. Well, they didn't have the New Testament. All they had was the Old Testament. Okay? Well, let's come here to Isaiah 54. Okay, we'll get there. Isaiah 54. All right, 53, 54, verse 17. No weapon that is formed against you shall prevail. That's part of the faith. See? No weapon, no circumstances. We have promises from God and faith in God that we will succeed because of God. And every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the inheritance of the servants of the Lord. Now notice, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Because you see, what's wrong with men is what is inside. So it's quite a miracle that God is doing. Hold your place there in Isaiah, because we'll come back close to it. And let's come over here to Mark, the 7th chapter. Let's see what Jesus said and how human nature is. Now, he ought to know, because he's the creator, correct? So God is doing an absolute miracle by faith. Now, also, faith requires action. And action is obedience. And obedience begins in the mind. Mark, the 7th chapter. Now, one of the things we need to do by faith, through prayer, through study, through living, through controlling our minds and bringing every thought into captivity to Christ. See, this is the way to eternal life. And this is how you change what is in. So let's read it here. Verse 20, Mark 7, he said, "That which springs forth from within a man, that defiles a man." And I could not help but think of that by just seeing all of the previews of all of the History Channel things that they're doing with the Vikings and all of this. And everything is killing. Everything is war. Everything is hatred. So here God, by faith, in calling us, is developing the leaders for the kingdom of God to put an end to all of this. But we must, with the power of God's Spirit, overcome. Because here is what we are without the Spirit of God. "For from within, out of the hearts of men, go evil thoughts." Now that's just about all there is on television anymore. I mean, even when you watch things like the History Channel or things like this, you're still seeing the perpetual evil of men. Evil thoughts, that's where it starts, within. Adulteries, fornications, okay? Now, there's a little ad on the History Channel that kind of runs up in the corner of it. And it says how sex changed the world. And today, people are obsessed with sex. Matter of fact, we have a series on that. Obsessed with sex and the addicted society. See? So this is what, if you don't have those, ask us, we'll send them to you. Adulteries, fornications, murders. And what are some of the programs that bring the most audience? How to solve a murder. Thefts, covetousness, wickedness, guile, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All these evils go forth from within, and these defile a man. That's why from faith unto faith is the righteousness of God, because it comes from him. We have to put forth the effort, but it is the power of the Holy Spirit within us that gives us the ability to overcome. Now let's come back to Isaiah, the 51st chapter. Isaiah 50. Okay, let's begin in verse 4. Now here's a message for us today, especially living in this wicked, evil world. And you know, to find the real, true Christians is going to be a harder and harder thing to find. And this is why, when you look at the way the world is today, this is why the most important thing that we can contribute, now there are other people contributing other things themselves, the most important thing we can contribute is through church at home. And that gets people started on the truth and knowing what they need to do. Then, when it comes to the time of baptism, then they can began to grow in grace and knowledge and all of that. Okay? Verse 4. "Hearken to me, my people." Now, we are the people of God. "And give ear to me, O nation." Now, we are a holy and righteous nation being formed, so that at the resurrection, we are going to take over the world. "For instruction shall proceed from me, and I will make my justice as a light to the people. My righteousness is near. My salvation has gone out, and my arm shall judge the people, and the isles shall wait upon me, and on my arm they shall trust. That's the only salvation in the world. Yes, it's going to get all super high tech, a lot more than we've ever thought. They are actually going to have things where it will be commonplace to go online and download your videos in holograms. So you can sit there and walk around, see every side of the person that's bringing the message. That's already in the works. Okay, so all the things that we're doing here will look like wooden buckets in pioneer days compared to what they're doing. Verse 6, lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath, for the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall become like a garment, and its inhabitants shall die in the same way. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness, which we're to hunger and thirst after, shall not be abolished. Now, every Protestant minister needs to read that. What are you going to do with that? Especially if you believe that Jesus was God manifested in the flesh. Jesus himself is the one who said it here in Isaiah 51 and also said it in Matthew 5:17. Hearken to me, you who know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Do not fear the reproach of men. Do not be afraid of their revilings. Oh, no way. For the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wool, but my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation, and on into the ages of eternity. Okay, come back here to Isaiah 32. Let's look at this. Isaiah 32, and let's pick it up here in verse 14. No, verse 13. Isaiah 32 and verse 13. Now, this is talking about the millennium. I know it's a long time to the Feast of Tabernacles, but there's nothing that says we can't read scriptures that apply to the millennium outside the Feast of Tabernacles. For upon the land of my people shall come up thorns and briars, yea, even upon all the houses of joy in the joyous city, because the palace shall be deserted, the multitude of the city shall be forsaken, instead of the mound and tower shall be for dens forever, a joy of wild donkeys, a pasture of flocks, until the Spirit is poured out upon us from on high. Now that comes in two ways. Number one, at baptism. Actually, we can say three ways. Number two, when God poured out his Holy Spirit as recorded in Acts, the second chapter. And number three, at the resurrection. Okay? And then God is going to take over and the whole world is going to be transformed from thorns and thistles and briars to this. And the wilderness shall become a fruitful field. And the fruitful field is thought to be a forest. Then justice shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. For the work of righteousness shall be peace. Now it's interesting, we will come to one of those which says there, blessed are the peacemakers. Now how do you get peace? By everyone agreeing to obey God. Okay? The work of righteousness shall be peace, and the result of righteousness shall be quiet and confidence forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable home and in secure dwellings and quiet resting places. So that's quite a promise, really quite a promise. All right, now let's seek the kind of righteousness that we need. Let's come to Romans, the fifth chapter, okay? Because not only does this apply to those who are in the New Testament, but this also applies in what we are going to administer when Christ returns. Romans, the fifth chapter. Now, when we read this is, yes, Romans 5, verse 17, okay? Verse 17, for if by the offense of one, that is Adam, one man, death reigned by the one, because that's how they got the law of sin and death when they rebelled against God. How much more shall those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness from faith unto faith, the gift of God, shall it reign in life by the one, Jesus Christ? Okay? Now, it comes God's way. All right, now let's come here to Ephesians, the fourth chapter, and let's see what that does. Ephesians 4. Here is how it is to work within us. And then we will see Paul's great desire for it, and that this is the kind of model that we need to seek after it as well. All right, Ephesians 4, and let's pick it up here in verse 20. But you have not so learned Christ, that is, as the licentiousness of the Gentiles. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him according to the truth in Jesus, that concerning your former conduct you put off the old man. So here's the whole process, continuous work every day, growing, changing, overcoming, recognizing the sin within, asking God to forgive you. You know, and the truth is, the older that you get, the more you realize how evil human nature really is. And also, that's part of God's Spirit working in you to do so, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. And of course, there are positive things in deceitful lust, right? Yes. Won't this be good? Won't this be nice? Okay. Deceitful lust, verse 23, and that you be renewed. Now, this is a constant thing. How many of you have some sort of high-tech device that needs to be recharged? Every one of you do. Little sidebar. In this book I'm reading, New Digital Age, they are already devising how you can recharge your cell phone and other technological things without wires. We'll put another little sidebar onto that. Remember the hieroglyphics that they found in the pyramids and tombs, where these two men were standing, one on this side and one on this side, and they had these big things come up, and now they look at them and they see electric lights. And now they look at the giant pyramids as electrical generators, sending electricity through the air, a la Tesla. And what is that? What scripture does that remind you of? There is nothing new under the sun. That which has been is that which shall be. Okay? All right. So we need to be renewed with God's Spirit from faith unto faith, because God's Spirit works in our minds to give us converted minds, reprogram our minds, renew our minds, you see, and that you put on the new man. This shows the process, which according to God is created in righteousness, which comes from God, and true and holiness of the truth. Then it tells us how to do it. We started out where that the mind is deceitful above all things, and wicked and evil thoughts, and adultery and fornication. Okay. Look at what he is telling those in the church, showing that as long as we're in the flesh, we better be about busy overcoming, okay? Therefore, let each one put away lies and speak the truth with his neighbor, because we're members of one another. Then it tells, how about that? Here in the Bible is anger management. Well, right here in this building where we're meeting, they have a lifestyle office down here for all of those who never grew up to learn how to manage their lives, okay? Never learn how to control their anger. Here's how to do it right here. When you become angry, it doesn't say, don't ever get angry. That's impossible. Even Jesus healed in anger, righteous anger. When you become angry, do not sin, okay? Don't carry it to the extreme. Why? Because human nature likes to go ahead and take that, you know, and just keep pushing, 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 okay? Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Why not have a good night's sleep? Go pray about it and get rid of it. And then it says, don't give place to the devil. All right. Now let's turn a couple pages over here to Philippians, the third chapter. And this is one of the reasons that God called the Apostle Paul. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees, super zealous, a lot of ability. Philippians, the third chapter, okay? So he brings out some very important things. Now, he's making a comparison of what he was before he was converted and what he is now doing in seeking the faith unto faith and the righteousness of God, see, to hunger and thirst after it. And he is the model on how to do that. So he says, verse 1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Indeed, for me it to write the same things to you is not troublesome, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Now, who are they? Those are those who are the vicious ones who will come after you. Beware of evildoers. Beware of the concision. Now, that's an interesting term because it means the cut-off ones, okay? And he said in Galatians that if you want to be those who come around saying you need to be circumcised, they would cut themselves off, see? For we are the circumcision who serve God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and do not trust in the flesh. Hold your place right here. We'll come back. Come to Romans, the second chapter, see? Because all the activity of conversion goes on in your mind and in your heart. Romans, the second chapter. Now, this is really a challenging thing to the Jews. Now, remember at this particular time in Judaism, and there are still some Jews today who practice this, and this is what they did. You cannot come near or go into a house or be with someone who is not a Jew. Okay? You can't fraternize with them. That's why the Pharisees and the scribes and the priests did not go into the judgment chamber when they brought Jesus to Pilate. They stayed outside, because they wanted to keep the Passover later that day, and they would defile themselves if they went in where the Gentiles were. So understand this with what Paul is writing here. This is really revolutionary. Now remember, Paul was one of the leading advocates of circumcision. Let's pick it up here in verse 17. Now, there's an awful lot in here because this is the whole basis. Now, remember, this is built upon chapter 1 and verse 17, so chapter 2 and verse 17. Now, he's talking to the Jews. Behold, you are called a Jew, and you yourself rest in the law and boast in God. And yes, they do. They even call all their traditions the law of Moses. They're not. And you know his will and approve of the things that are more excellent being instructed out of the law. Well, they went to synagogue every Sabbath and are persuaded that you yourself See, the chosen people of the world are a guide to the blind, a light for those in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having the form of the knowledge and the truth contained in the law. Now then, notice how he shifts the emphasis, all right? You have all of these things, and you say, you stand on this. Now, we can learn something from this for ourselves, too, as well. Verse 21, you then who are teaching another, do you not teach yourself also? That's the best way to avoid hypocrisy. You learn from the Word of God. You learn from your errors that you need to correct. You let the Word of God correct you. Someone will come along and say, hey, you know, you're doing this and this isn't right. What are you going to do at that point if they're speaking truth? Well, you better say, yeah, that's true. You better repent of it. Okay? Because God, you know, he even used a jackass to talk to Balaam, right? So if God sends a person to you and says, well, you know, what about this? You know, you need to think about that this isn't right. Well, then you need to repent. Okay? So he says, all right. You then who are teaching another, do you not teach yourself also? You who preach, do not steal, are you stealing? You who say, do not commit adultery, are you committing adultery? You who abhor idols, are you committing sacrilege by having idols in your mind? You who boast in the law, are you dishonoring God through your transgression of the law? For through you the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles exactly as it is written. Now notice this. Notice God's solution to this whole thing. It's not who your ancestors are today. It is the calling of God, and God becomes your father today. Remember what Jesus said to those Jews who said, oh, well, we're Abraham's seed. No protection in that any longer, see. Verse 25. For on the one hand, circumcision profits if you are observing the law. Whoa! Teaching by Paul. On the other hand, if you're a transgressor of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision, those people over there you hate and despise, those whom you will not keep company with, those whom you will not assemble with, those who you say are the goyim, if they are keeping the righteousness requirements of the law, or righteousness, shall not his uncircumcision be reckoned for circumcision? Now then he gets really nasty here, verse 27. And shall not the uncircumcised, who by nature is fulfilling the law, keeping the law according to Paul's a good thing, right? Mm-hmm. Shall not he judge you who with the letter and circumcision are a transgressor of the law? Yes, indeed. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision which is external in the flesh. Rather, he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and the circumcision is of the heart in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not from men but from God. Now then, how do you become a Jew inwardly? You have the Spirit of the Father by begettal. Number one, you have the Spirit of Christ. Number two, did Christ come from the tribe of Judah, of the house of David? Yes, he did. What did Jesus tell his apostles? You dwell in me, and I dwell in you. If Christ is dwelling in you, you are a spiritual Jew of a higher caliber and quality than the physical Jew. See? Now, this will help us understand Philippians, the third chapter, a little more here. Okay? Let's come back to Philippians 3. That's why he said here in verse 3, for we are the circumcision, that is, of God, because our hearts have been circumcised through the baptism of Jesus Christ and receiving the Holy Spirit. So therefore, we are spiritual Jews. For we are the circumcision who serve God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and do not trust in the flesh. Now then, he reminisces and looks back upon his life before he was converted. Though I might also have reason to trust in the flesh, if any other thinks he has cause to trust in the flesh, I more. So then he listed off. Circumcised the eighth day of the race of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, with respect to law, a Pharisee. With respect to zeal, I did my job. Persecuting the church. With respect to righteousness that is in law, blameless. Yet the things that were gained to me, these things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. But then truly, here's counting the cost. Remember when we talk about baptism? Where to count the cost? Luke 14. Yes, indeed. I count all things to be lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Everything he had physically, he counted as loss, and count them as dung, that I may gain Christ and may be found in him. Now notice it is may, conditional, subjunctive in the Greek. And may be found in him, not having my own righteousness. See, because we're to hunger and thirst after the righteousness of God, which is derived from law. Because you can have a certain amount of discipline and obedience and things like that. If you keep the law and the letter of the law, you have letter of the law, righteousness. That's good. That's better than living in evil. But the change has to come from in here, not the discipline from without. But that righteousness, which is by the faith of Christ, the righteousness of God that is based on faith. From faith unto faith. Well, let's go ahead and take a little break here, and we'll come back and finish up.